All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Deuteronomy 28D, times of distress. You know, America's falling apart so fast that it seems that there's nothing we can do to slow it down. I mean, everything we try, everything we do, doesn't really seem to do anything. And we're overwhelmed with new problems each day. I mean, within this current administration, we've had Obamacare pushed upon our people. We've had IRS scandals where the Obama administration has targeted Tea Party groups and other patriotic and Christian groups. We've had a push for gun control, where the government's trying to take away our guns. The NSA is spying on American citizens. Well, we've got terror threats still. We've got a bad economy that's getting worse. We've got corrupt courts, Supreme Courts, local courts, district courts, federal courts, you name it. We're living during times of distress. I mean, for an example of corrupt courts and a corrupt national government is the Zimmerman trial. If any of you have been following that, it's despicable. What's going on with the due process of law? Perhaps that's another topic for another time, but it's obvious that there's bribes and payoffs and pressure being put upon people for political reasons. And it's an abomination. It's wickedness. It's lawlessness. I could go on and on with this list of things. I mean, there are so many things happening bad things happening to our country at such a fast rate that we can't even mention them here. Many of them we don't even know about. America's not even respected in the world today, and so forth. But you know what? I should say, and you know what? It doesn't appear as though it's going to get any better anytime soon. In fact, it's going to get much worse before we can expect anything better. How do I know that? How do I know it's going to get much worse? Well, simply because our nation has rejected God. We take him out of our schools. We take him out of our courthouses. And our people are distracted with endless amounts of entertainment, of nonsense on TV, following the Kardashians, worshiping Madonna and other pop music stars. And you name it. You know what? I should say this. I know it's going to get much worse before it gets better, because we are living during the cursed period of American history, as foretold of in this chapter. And you know what? We're going to finish this chapter out today, the blessings and curses chapter. You could call it the covenant blessings and curses. And the curses aren't too fun to live through. They're not too fun to live through. And you know what? So I don't get you all depressed and thinking that there's absolutely nothing we can do. There is something we can do about this. In fact, there's something specific we can do. We as Christians aren't supposed to be filled with anxiety because in the long run, we know we win. But for those of you who really want to be able to do something, during our next study, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what we can do during times of distress, what actions we can take that are effective. But anyways, before we finish up this chapter here today, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word. We know we are living during these curses that you promised would come, that you warned us would come upon us if we as a nation rejected you. And we just pray that our nation will repent, will wake up, and turn back to you, Lord. And we pray that we can be your servants to help make that happen, if it be your will, in Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy 28. And Let's see. We are on, we left off on verse 53, but I'm going to back up to verse 52 so you kind of know what's happening. What God said, he said he would send enemy armies upon us if we violated his covenant, if we ignored his word. And he mentioned all these bad things that this army would do to us. It's called the locust army of Joel chapter 2. It's an army of socialists, of liberals, of progressives, of peoples from third world countries who worship other gods, who have other cultures and morals and values in us, who want to see America changed. That's who the enemy is, my friend. And we're about to legalize, and not saying that everybody there, every illegal alien in here is a heathen or worships false gods, but there are many reasons why amnesty for illegal aliens should not be passed. For one, that it totally disrespects the rule of law. It says that you can break the laws and gain and benefit from it. It makes a mockery out of the United States. And there are many other reasons as well. For one, we're supposed to, God's people are supposed to keep. They're supposed to stay in the majority. I'm talking about Christian Israelites who founded this great nation, America. Yeah, we're supposed to be welcoming to foreigners and strangers, peoples of other races, who are willing to come in here and assimilate into our culture. But we're not supposed to let them multiply in numbers to get up above us in numbers where we become a minority and we lose our heritage. That's not right. And that's not racist or a bigoted statement of me to make that statement. It's common sense. Every single nation follows that. Hey, if you look on the books of Mexico's immigration policies and illegal and laws concerning illegal immigration, you'll see what I'm talking about. They don't put up with this kind of stuff that we put up with. I can't go over to China and demand that I should have a position in their government, and then if they don't accept me, I should call them racist and bigoted. They'd laugh at me. But yet, the gullible people we are here in America, we let people come in here, take our country from us, and beat us over the head with it. We even vote for a president who despised America and her beginnings and wanted to fundamentally transform it, and is today. And many of our people voted for that. Many of those people claim to be Christians. What idiots are they? Or what kind of idiots are they? I'll tell you what kind of idiots they are. They're idiots who haven't studied God's word with understanding. They're those same Christians that go to church and you ask them if they've read their Bible, and they say, "Oh yeah, I read it all. I read it from the front to back back when I was in second grade." My friends, you can never completely attain the full knowledge of God and his plan. That's like saying that you are God yourself. You can't just read the Bible through once back in sixth grade or at your confirmation classes and expect to have any workable knowledge of God's will. That's ridiculous. I've been in and out of the Bible nonstop for 20 years, and I still feel like I'm just beginning. Sometimes I feel like I'm not even qualified to teach because I'm still learning myself. I feel so small in comparison to Almighty God. I always feel like there's so much more to learn, so much more to understand, and so much more to put into practice. And yet, we've got ignorant Christians today voting for God knows what. They don't even know what they're voting for. Anyways, this army of socialists, liberals, progressive, and peoples from third world countries called the Locust Army, has invaded America. We are under siege. And we'll pick up where we left off in verse, we'll recap 52. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, everywhere, all your secure places, until thy high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trustest. You're not going to have any national security. You're going to have problems. You're going to have troubles within and without. No place is secure. That's the point. That's what God is saying. If you violate my commandments, you refuse to listen to my word, then I'm going to send the enemy against you. And that's what he's done. And that's what he's done. And yet, you know, God bless them. The Tea Party group is doing a lot of great things, but they need to start focusing more on Almighty God rather than worshiping liberty. That's backwards. Liberty comes from God. It's not a creation of man. And our founders knew that as well. Well, if liberty comes from God, how do we attain it? By following his word. Not by getting a bunch of smart people together trying to figure out a way to have liberty. No. Do we want smart people? People with gifts and talents? Absolutely. But if they're not putting their trust in God and they're putting their trust in other things, it will never happen. Just like the Tower of Babel fell, so will any movement that does not put their trust in God, so does any movement that will not put their trust in God. They will fail. All right. Throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee. Who's he? The enemy. The liberals, the socialists, the progressives, and even people who claim to be, even many in the conservative camp these days, who push one worldism. In fact, I used to call myself a Christian conservative, and I still do, but I'm more and more thinking I shouldn't call myself conservative. I should call myself a Christian patriot. Maybe that's what kind of party people should start founding, is the Christian Patriot Party. As much as I dislike parties and as much as our founding fathers dislike parties, we at least need to have something to give us a voice. Throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God hath given thee, 53, and thou shalt, now check this out. This is very graphic. This is disturbing. This is how bad God said he'll make it. Verse 53, and thou shalt eat of the fruit of thine own body and the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. In other words, historically, what happened here was the Babylonians encircled Jerusalem. You can read about this in the book of Lamentations, as well as, I believe, the book of Jeremiah, that the Babylonians, they encircled the city of Jerusalem and they cut off the food supply. And there was a man-made famine, a famine made by the enemies. And if you don't think the enemies are trying to gain control of our food supply today, even of our water, so that they can bring us down to our knees, then you're sorely mistaken. I know many of you are aware of that, of the movement. Well, for one, these hybrid seeds, we know they don't reproduce. Whoever owns the hybrid seed, whoever sells you the hybrid seed, is the only one. There are certain companies that many of you are aware of, like Monsanto and so forth, that only they can give you the seed. If you plant one of their seeds in your field and you grow, let's say, corn or something like that, the next year you can't take seeds from that corn because it's sterile. You can't take seeds from that corn and plant it. You have to go and buy it from a corporation that makes it. That's dangerous. That's dangerous, my friends. The laws of warfare, the tactics do not change all that much. They just upgrade a little bit in a little different manner with technology. So what does an enemy want to do? He sits back and he thinks, okay, yeah, I want to control the food supply so that I can make the people famished and I can go in and take them over. Or I can gain leverage over them. That's something we could see in the future, my friends. Something we could see in the future. Well, what does this mean here? So what we're looking at basically is a famine. And famines are foretold of by our Lord Jesus Christ, whether natural or man-made. In Matthew 24, I believe it is, Mark 13, Luke 21, the book of Revelation. One of the riders, one of the four horsemen, brings a famine. And yes, in part of that famine, there is a famine for hearing the word of God, but there's also a famine for punishment, for not listening to the word of God. It's one of the four sword judgments that God said he would use, Almighty God said he would use upon a disobedient people. Do I read this chapter pretty stern? Yes, I do, because this is one of the most serious chapters in God's Word. We're talking about curses here. We're talking about real stuff. We're talking about realities that are and could happen to our nation. We're talking about times of distress, times of trouble, now and over the horizon. And I don't want to scare anybody, but what I'm trying to do is mentally prepare you by reading what's going to happen. And we are going to talk about what we can do. And God has a way of taking care of his own during times of trouble. But we're going to stick with talking about the curses today. The solution we'll talk about another day, probably in our next study. In our next study. But he says, thine enemy shall distress thee. That's what enemies like to do. That we're talking about it in the introduction. They're overwhelming us with attacks, distressing us daily. Verse 54. So that the man that is tender among you, this effeminate males, I guess we have a lot of those today, don't we? We call them metrosexuals and things like that. You know, whatever happened to the day when men used to act like men? Now we got a bunch of men that like to dress like girls. That like to groom themselves like girls even. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about this, you know, a tender man among you, very delicate, you know. His eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. This is your politically correct man here. The guy that goes along with the ways of the world right now doesn't want to offend anybody. But you know what? When bad times come, guess what they're going to do? They'll turn on their own. Because they're a delicate, little, selfish weasel. Instead of protecting their family, making a sacrifice for their family, they would rather eat them in the siege. In other words, we're saying, they're back in history here. The Israelites, when they were besieged by their enemies, by this famine, they literally starved to death to the point where some of them were actually eating their own children. Well, that doesn't happen today, does it? No, not literally. There may be times where it will. There may be a time coming where this will be literal. How can I say this? Because God said this is one of the things he could bring. But you know what? People do this today. It's called abortion. You know what? It's not convenient for my lifestyle. I can't afford a child right now, but I did the necessary work to make one, but I'll just get an abortion because I don't want that responsibility, because times are tough, because it's hard to make a living these days. So let's just get rid of that child. You know what? That's the same thing. That's the same thing as this. Verse 55, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat. Do you see that? Even down, resorting down to cannibalism. And in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. Again, the enemy's going to distress you. You know, it's like, you know, people want to trust in government. They, you know, there comes a point where God's going to say, okay, you trust. You put your trust in your government. See what it can do for you. Because I'm not going to help you. In fact, I'll send the enemies against you if you think you're that tough. You think you could do it all by yourself. If you could think you could have a nation without God. If you think you could strip God out of your schools, out of your courthouses, out of every public facet of life, then this is what's going to happen. Verse 56, the tender and delicate woman among you. You know, a society lady. She can't get her hands dirty either. You know, she got to have everything just right. Prissy priss, right? Which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for the delicateness, for her delicateness and tenderness. You know, she's just a princess. She deserves everything, right? Her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son and toward her daughter. What do we see here happening? People turning upon even their own family members because they lived a selfish life. They were never taught honor and personal sacrifice and putting others before yourself. No, these are the two classes of people that we have too many of today that put themselves first all the time. In this selfish pop culture that we have today. Me, mine. I want this stuff. I want that stuff. You can't count on these people during the siege. They're the reason the siege is coming. Because these are those who rejected Almighty God. But God's people during times of trouble are going to unite. We're going to pull together. We're going to help one another, even during tough times, because they are coming, my friend. Have you ever read about it? The Great Tribulation? That you're not escaping, by the way. No Christian escapes it. As far as leaving the earth, you may escape elements of it as far as having to suffer under the hand of God. But it's going to be the greatest tribulation such as never was and never will be again. Do I like to say that? No, I don't. Does it make me a little anxious at times? Yeah, a little bit. Human nature does, but we got to put our trust in God. None of us are perfect. If we say, oh, I don't have one little worry, then we're probably deceiving ourselves. And some would take that as, well, as a Christian, you're supposed to just say, I don't worry about anything. I, you know what? That's true. We put our trust in God, but you're still, when going into a battle or a war, a soldier puts his trust in God, but he's still going to be a little bit fearful. And sometimes that fear will help you survive. It'll help you be keen. It'll help you be sharp. But if you just say, well, I'm not worried about it, then you're probably slacking off. You could probably be the first ones killed in battle because you're overconfident. Anyways, verse 57, and toward the young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. You know, if there's even a case here recently in a town next to mine where a woman must have gotten a fight with her husband and decided to really get him back. And she killed her two children and then killed herself. How sad is that? How despicable is that? How could you ever get so low, so selfish, as a mother or father to take the lives of your own children because you're a little poor me baby? You know what? Yeah, life deals us bad hands at times. But we're to overcome those things. It wasn't easy going for God's servants. Although, look at David's life. Look at Joseph. Was sold into slavery. Was in prison for something he didn't even do. I could go on and on. Look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at the persecution and the suffering he went through. And he was perfect. So it's time we stop being a bunch of crybabies and live up to being a Christian. I know that's easy for some of us to say at times when things are going really good. But nevertheless, it's true. It's true. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and in the straitness during that famine while the enemy armies encircled the city and cut off that food supply. She'll eat her own children because she needs to survive. So could you imagine that, eating the flesh and blood of your own children? Don't throw this out. Don't eliminate this. Though many of these things happen in the spiritual sense, hey, don't rule out any of this happening in the physical sense. Because when you read about the seals, trumpets, and vials in the book of Revelation, there are some natural catastrophes that will hit this earth. And, anyways, wherewith the enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. And you know what? We are under distress today. The enemy is after us. We're living during this time. This time, and I believe, and many others believe, and there's sources that say that George Washington, during one of his inauguration ceremonies, placed his hand upon this chapter, Deuteronomy 28. And even if that account is not true, he certainly knew this chapter well, because if you read his speeches, and you look at his proclamations that he made as a president, it is obvious that he knew the blessings and cursings chapter, the blessings and the curses. And he knew that a nation, that if America was to survive, they must put their trust in Almighty God. And, so that bad. Could you imagine that? Verse 58, again, abortion fits in this category as well. Oh, times are tough. I can't really afford to have a child, so I'll just we'll just destroy them. 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book. Wait a minute. Isn't the law done away with, Pastor Ben? Why are you reading this? Hey, have you ever read Matthew chapter 5? Where Christ said, I did not come to change one jot or one tittle. That means one little smallest ornament or a dot upon an I in English. We'll just, so you can understand, we'll put it that way. I didn't even take a dot off of an I of the law, but I came to fulfill it. In other words, he came to fulfill the legal requirements of it, the blood sacrifices and the rituals, among a few other things. But he didn't do away with it. God's law, the Ten Commandments, still apply, as well as all case laws. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, or Yahweh, thy Elohim, in the Hebrew manuscripts. That's the name of our God, Yahweh, our Elohim, our God. You know, I've had some people write me and say, you know, I like your ministry, but I can't stand the fact that you use the word God. It means God is not... It's means the supreme, like a supreme ruler. That's all it means. It's not taking away from Yahweh. That's why it says, the Lord thy God, Yahweh thy God. So when I use the word God, like the King James uses it, you're referring to Yahweh, not referring to some pagan god. You know, be careful that you don't make a religion out of nonsense. You know, being legalistic about everything, especially when you're wrong. Grow up, man. Stop being so nitpicky. And when I say stop being so nitpicky, I'm not saying let's be easy on false doctrine and things like that. I'm saying don't strain at gnats and swallow camels. Do I use the sacred name of God when I pray? Obviously, yes, I do. But am I going to be so religious to the fact that I'm never going to just read the Lord thy God and turn away and confuse new people studying and only use the Hebrew sacred name? No, I'm not. We speak English. So anyways, I don't want to get too much into that right now, but some people just want to pick at something, anything. I don't know why, but they do. Verse 59, then the Lord thy God, if you don't glorify his name, if you don't respect God, will make thy plagues wonderful. These plagues are all written about in the book of Revelation. Again, the seals, trumpets and vials, and even the thunders that are kept secret at this time. I know a lot of people say, well, I know what the thunders are. No, you don't. They're sealed. They're sealed. They'll be revealed to us when it's time. We all like to guess on things, and you go to Psalms 29 and it says the voice of the Lord thunders and stuff like that. But the information from God's voice has not been revealed yet. During the seven thunders of the book of Revelation, you know what? After we do Deuteronomy, we are either going to do a small book, or we are going to go right into the book of Revelation. Either way, my plan is, Lord willing, that we will do the book of Revelation really soon here. And this is the year 2013, for those of you, if you're listening to an old broadcast, in the future, if you're looking back. We are deciding to do two videos a week now. We're going to publish them on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Wednesday nights and Saturday nights. So that we can get through these books quicker than we've been able to get through this book of Deuteronomy. And perhaps not going to make any promises. There may be weeks where we can pump out three videos. We'll see. But we're going to do two videos a week from here on out. Unless it's a week that I have off for administrative purposes or something of that nature. But anyways, verse 59, the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. What's in America's future? Well, you're reading it. You're reading it. Get prepared. Prepare yourself mentally. Pray for protection. Verse 60, moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave to thee. Okay, you know, they lived in Egypt, and Egypt participated, and the Egyptians participated in ungodly acts and so forth, and disease spread. Disease always spreads among an unclean and immoral people. We're going to talk a little bit about how I believe God cleansed the Israelites of many of these diseases as they left Egypt. But anyways, verse 61, also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee, until thou be destroyed. So in other words, it's not just some specific things that we read about, like the botch of Egypt and the hemorrhoids and stuff like that, and other like tumors and things. No, God says, hey, I can bring any kind of sickness, any kind of disease, any kind of epidemic, such as the bubonic plague or Black Death, you name it. God does use that. Do innocent people get hurt by sicknesses and diseases today? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's a national thing. It's a national thing. And does God protect his own servants if he's got certain people he's going to use? Absolutely. But we still got to use common sense and follow his law. Enough said for that for now. Anyways, verse 62. Well, I'm going to mention at the end of the book of Revelation, this same verse is pretty much, this verse is pretty much quoted there. God says, hey, whoever tries to add or take away from this book, I will add to them all the plagues written therein. So there we see it. What is a plague? A plague comes as a violation. Plagues come when people violate God's law. So you get to the book of Revelation. God's law is still in effect. God doesn't run a lawless kingdom. He doesn't just let justice go undone. No way. Sure, when we sin, we can repent and so forth. But hey, the civil government is supposed to enforce God's law. It's supposed to keep justice. It's not their job to forgive when civil laws are broken. It's their job to uphold the law. And it's Almighty God's job to forgive. Not man. It's not in our power to forgive. Yes, on an individual basis, if your neighbor wrongs you, Christ said, forgive them 490 times. But we're talking about violations of civil law, such as murder and rape and stuff like that. Stealing. Also, every sickness, every plague, which is not written in... Okay, we read that, verse 62. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. One of the blessings was that God would make the Israelites numerous as the stars of heaven. They'd have many children. But you know what? Today, this prophecy is coming to pass. For all the Israelite babies born in America, I should say it this way, for the first time in American history, Israelite babies, and this isn't a racist statement, this is a national statement, a biblical statement. For the first time in American history, Israelite babies are now in the minority. In other words, a baby born today from an Israelite is a minority already. Among all other babies of all other peoples, all other races. And does that mean we shouldn't have foreigners and peoples of other races in our country? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We should have some. In fact, all the way back here, we're going to read about it in the next chapter, I believe, that the ancient Israel had foreigners among them. But they were not to come in and outnumber them and bring change to their government. They were supposed to assimilate into the culture, respect the people, respect the rule of law. In fact, they were under the same law. But today we have a bunch of foreigners coming into our country demanding that we change it, even up to our president. A non-Israelite, probably a half-Kenite, if you really look into it. Come over here and wants to change it. That's disrespectful. But Pastor Ben, didn't the Americans take the land from the Indians and other people? Didn't they take California from the Mexicans? We'll talk about that in our next study. We'll see if there was a problem with that. We'll see if our founding fathers were wrong about that. Anyways, God says, I'm going to make you a minority in your own country even. I'm going to scatter you, and we're being scattered among the heathen today. And this amnesty for illegal aliens certainly is not going to help things out at all. Why does God bring it about? Because we would not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it's a punishment from Almighty God. So if you're one of these people that's just I'm just going to move on here. Verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoice over you to do good and to multiply you. Okay, that's part of the blessings, to be multiplied in children and in goods and in blessings and in land and in prosperity, you name it. God was excited to be able to bless the Israelites. He was excited to bless America. It made him feel good. So the Lord, but what happens if we violate his commandments? So the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And you shall be plucked off from the land whither thou goest to possess it. So you know what? Instead of crying about and bickering about the enemies taking over our country, it's time we start turning back to Almighty God, because God's the one doing it. He's the one pulling the strings. Yet, is there a conspiracy? Yes, there is. But ultimately, God even uses Satan himself to correct his people along with the Kenites. Verse 64, and the Lord, you know, a lot of people, all these people that really get into the conspiracy stuff seem to forget that. Oh, he's only a pawn of so-and-so and a pawn of that. Yes, that's true. But who's moving the pawns? Not just Satan. For God even controls Satan, and he doesn't even realize it. God's using Satan to sift the wheat from the shaft. He uses Satan to punish his own people for disobedience. If we followed the law, God would just kick Satan right out. Or at least keep him away from us. Anyways, verse 64, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. We update this to the future, and we're talking about a new world order. New world order that where people worship the government, they worship the state. And even the image of the beast in Revelation 13. And that's where we're going. We're being scattered. We're losing our power. We're being scattered. We're not necessarily being taken over into China in prison camps or Russia. At least at this time we're not. We're being scattered among our own land. The enemies are invading. Verse 65, and among these nations thou shalt find no ease. You're never going to have a moment of rest. Look at today. Look at today. It's starting. It's probably only the beginning. Oh, sure, yeah, these things started a long time ago, been going on for probably 100 years or so. But it's still only the beginning. Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. Look at our people today. You know, many of our liberals probably aren't feeling this quite yet, because they think this is great. They're bringing change. But wait till that change starts really coming into effect. And look at what Obamacare, people are already saying that is doing to our nation. Verse 66, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. This is America's future, my friends. Am I a doomsdayer? No, I just know, hey, these things are coming to pass. We're not to escape it. We're to stand up and do our duty. Again, we'll be talking about what our duty is here in the next chapters and so forth. You know, you don't want to miss any of these chapters, because chapter 31 even foretold of 9/11. Verse 66, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. You never know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to keep my job, lose my job, my children are going to starve. I just don't know. Verse 67, in the morning thou shalt say, would to God it were even. Let's just get another day past. And at even thou shalt say, would to God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Here's the key. Or here's an important verse. Verse 68. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again. By ships, with ships by the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Did he literally mean God's going to bring them back to Egypt? No, it's a figure of speech. Egypt was the place of slavery. It was a place of bondage. It was a place of misery. And you know what? That's where we're going today. We're going back into Egypt. We're becoming bondmen and bondwomen to a socialistic New World Order and to a tyrannical government ruling over these United States of America. And God's the one who's done it. So we can sit here. We can cry and complain and try to start parties and try to demand liberty and say I'm a libertarian, I deserve liberty. And we're going to fail. Or we can get back to God's word and be blessed. This can all turn around. This can all turn around. We're going to talk about it. And we've talked about it some in the past. Joel chapter 2. I believe even Joel chapter 3 foretells of a time when the tide can turn back. But it's not going to happen by the means by which many are trying to make it happen. Anyways, don't miss the next few chapters. We are almost done with this great book of Deuteronomy. And then we're going to move on to perhaps another short book. And then on to the great book of Revelation. We'll close in prayer here. Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for the warnings in this chapter. When we pray for our nation, we pray for our people, that they will begin to wake up and see what's happening. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So like we always say, because Christ said it in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you consume it on a daily basis so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.